Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. Coming up at about 12:20, Nick Sirianni's appearance with Joe and John on the morning show today. We'll let you hear that in its entirety. If you missed Sirianni earlier, Nick Sirianni will play that for you on the Midday Show. Next hour, we got to unveil Kiss the Baby, a brand new segment where we bury an NFL team every single week. A little contest the three of us will have as we go throughout the NFL season. But we're talking a lot today about Jalen Hurts, his performance on Friday night. And he gave him a pass. You know, someone said earlier, I was talking about it as if he failed. He didn't fail. They won the football game. He made some really good plays, some good throws. Mm-hmm. But we agreed earlier, it was about a C effort out of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, C.
Not
strong
his best.
C plus. C minus? C?
I'm not. If you want to go C plus, Hugh, I'm not going to sit here and argue with that.
Okay.
You want to go C
plus? How about that D, baby?
I'm saying C.
It was better than a D.
Right,
it certainly was better than a D performance, but it was not an A, and the B, you're being too easy as a grader. And are you giving him a pass because his first game in a new offense? 215-592-9494 is how you happen. And of course, Bryce Harper not hustling last night. He admitted it. And then after the game, Topper said, well, he came up and said it to him. So, Bryce Harper, are you giving him a pass? It's pass day on the show today. Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. It's almost inverted, our two polls today. Opposite. So, are you giving Jalen Hurts a pass because it was week one? 61% yes. The other side, are you giving Bryce Harper a pass for not hustling? 67% yes. No. So no passes for Bryce. Passes for Jalen is how the polls are going early on here.
The people have the right of this. It's clean slate season. New year.
season. What happened to Philadelphia? Hugh Douglas is rubbing off on people.
We wipe slates clean. Mm. We're all plant-based now.
Yeah, that's right. This is, everyone voting yes to a pass is plant-based.
It's plant-based Philly.
Yeah.
So how about, you know what's funny about that? Because now people are like, you know, because Hatfield brought us breakfast this morning. Shout out to Hatfield. And people were mad at me talking about, I thought you were vegan. I ain't never said I was vegan.
No,
plant-based and vegan is two different things.
Well, they are. That's true. Plant-based and vegan are. By the way, I am literally plant-based, but I actually got to eat this morning. We got to thank Hatfield because they made me an egg scramble. It was awesome this morning. And Hugh, what do you have here? Like a package of bacon going on?
I had bacon. And then I had a side of
you
morning.
Had a mountain of bacon.
Hey, I started my breakfast off with bacon, and then I had a side of sausage. And with the side of sausages, the accoutrement with the sausages was some nice eggs.
Because there was a real chef here. Do you think you could talk like that now?
Yeah, that's what it is. And I said accoutrement wrong. I meant to use this like an assessment, but it was, you know.
Oh, it sounded good.
It was cool, yeah.
Sometimes it's the presentation.
It is all it is. What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, that's every day for us.
But it was like a meat. It was like a plethora of meat. No freaky.
And by the way, in your grocery store, look for the new blue Hatfield packaging. New look, same authentic taste. Put pork on your fork for breakfast. Convenient, easy, and delicious way to add protein to your family's breakfast. Visit simplyhatfield.com to see the entire lineup.
Plethora of meat, huh?
Yeah, I said it wrong.
You walked into that one.
I meant to say pause, not no freaky. Pause. A lot of girth. Yeah, I meant to say pause.
You walked right into it.
Yeah, you really did.
All right, can we hear from Nick Sirianni? Let's hear from him yesterday, talking about how they'll coach the turnovers and how they'll discuss what happened after the game.
We're hyper-focused on the football. We talk about the football a lot. You know, Jalen touches the ball every down. And so, obviously, you never want turnovers. You know, he's trying to make a play. But we gotta take care of the football, and he's gonna want those plays back. You know, obviously both of them are in third and long scenarios. So you know, being able to take what the defense gives them in those scenarios is gonna be key. Not concerned. He made a lot of good plays in this game. Like we talked about the 4 minute, even with some of these plays that didn't go his way, he made a lot of really good plays.
The players right now are attacking rest.
When he said they're hyper focused on the football, it reminded me when he said that.
Attacking.
They
rest
attacked
is awesome.
Rest. Now they're hyper focused on the football. Why? That makes sense. You need to be focused on the football. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Chuck in Mount Airy is up. Chuck, how we doing?
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
What's up, fellas?
How we doing?
Listen, man. You know, what is this, elementary school? I mean, we giving out passes now? I'm not giving out no passes, man. This is supposed to be a Super Bowl contending team, and this is supposed to be a World Series contending team. No passes are given. Now, I can keep things in perspective, man, right? And I'm going to do that. See, listen, my spouse is a Jets fan, right? She has to wake up with the agony of cheering for the Jets every year. You know what I mean? See, I have the benefit now, you know, in my Eagles fandom. I can wake up every day and feel good about my team. So what I'm saying to you is this, right? We got three teams that we got to, I think we have to see to get where we need to be. And that's Detroit, San Fran, and Dallas. Dallas ain't going nowhere. They're still a good team. They're going to be there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, that's just what it is. I hate Dallas with a passion, but you got to call a spade a spade. They're still going to be there. The defense look good. They still got Dak. They got everybody signed, just like the 49ers. Now, I picked the NFC Championship game to be the Eagles and the Niners because I knew I don't believe in that Super Bowl hangover crap. They're there. But what I'm saying to you is this. Jalen has to play better for us to get to where we need to be. You had OG Buffoon on earlier. You know, all he do is make excuses for Jalen and enable him. I'm not going to enable him. You know, this is supposed to be high hopes for this team. And high hopes is not just winning the division or getting to the second round. It's making the Super Bowl. So what I'm saying to you is this, right? Jalen has to play better. And when I say has to play better, I don't mean being all world. Just want you to be Brock Purdy. Just be Brock Purdy. That'll justify your contract enough. You don't have to throw across your shoulder. You know, you don't have to do that, Hugh. You don't have to, you know, throw, you know, in a sea of green of Green Bay Packers. You know, it was five defenders there and one wide receiver. Devontae wasn't getting that ball. If he was 6'6", he wasn't getting that ball. So what I'm saying to you is this, right? Plays like that can't happen for us to get to where we need to get to. But do I give Jalen a pass on Friday? I don't give him a pass. But what I'm saying, I'm going to keep things in perspective.
I think we lost Chuck.
New coordinator,
go ahead.
You know.
No, we lost you for a second, but I did hear you, Chuck. And Chuck, we appreciate the phone call. It was going in and out at the end. So he's not giving him a pass, and he said it's not elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Douglas is running elementary school here, giving passes to Jalen.
I went to orientation yesterday, so I'm kind
of. For yourself or for your son?
Well, my son. My son. It was cool.
It's back to school week.
It's that time of the year.
Maybe that's why you got passes and failing and kids.
Well, yeah, because it's the first week. You know, hope springs eternal. It's the first week. You know, we get the little workout pack with the little worksheets and stuff. And. You know, homework and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everyone's getting, you know, settling back in.
Yeah. And so it was just like, you know, I'm in that mode right now. I wasn't the oldest dad at first grade. I felt pretty good about that.
You walked in there thinking you were.
I walked in, I'm like, damn, I'm going to be the oldest cat up in here. But I wasn't. But I was in the running. So it was cool. It was a good day for me.
It's good for you, man.
Did you ask, or did the other guy just look older?
No, listen. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I didn't ask.
Did a scan around the room.
I didn't ask, but when I looked around the room, I was like, damn, he look old as, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't say the word, but I'm like, oh, he look old as, I don't know what.
It brings me back to.
I hope they're not listening,
yeah,
though.
They probably are. Yeah, it brings me back to when I was a kid. I was playing baseball, like middle school, and I didn't even mean it. It just came across, I guess, the wrong way. So one of my teammates, what I thought was his grandfather, was trying to get his attention.
Dad.
I was like, I forget the kid. I think his name is Jeff. I said, hey, Jeff. It was Jeff. I said, Jeff, I think your grandpa's calling you over
still
there.
My dad.
He's like, that's my dad. And I'm like, all right. Like, I didn't know.
I felt like that. You know what I mean? I felt like that was going
to
be the
how
case.
How am I supposed to know that?
No, it was cool, though. It was cool. It was like, I was not, you know, it was cool. I was, you know, wasn't the oldest pops there. So I felt, you know, I didn't feel out of place like I thought I would.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was cool.
So you're feeling good about that? You're also feeling good about Jalen? His performance?
Feeling good about Jalen. So I'm willing to give people passes, man. Oh, yeah, and you know, just a whole lot going on.
Yeah, but I don't give passes. This is the
first quarterback. It's the first week. See, this is the thing. As fans that we have to stop doing, man. Because we're like, oh, we're holding them to a higher standard.
Yes.
But in the same breath, we'll complain about them not playing in the preseason.
No, I want him to play in the preseason.
But they don't. But the rust was there. It was a rusty week. It was rusty.
I blame the enablers, like you guys giving passes, for the fact that that Chuck was able to call in and say we needed to play more like Brock Purdy.
Well, hold on.
Was a trigger warning right there when he said like Brock
Kyle
Purdy.
Kyle was about to vomit.
Yeah.
He's right.
Can't do that. Anyway, the Eagles played one game. This has been a thing with Bryce Harper for like almost the entire season, and it's now September. Like, it's September for both teams, but they mean completely different things. The Eagles have an entire season ahead of them, and it's expected for them to be a little bit sloppy.
Yeah.
In week one, this is lock-in time for Bryce.
I agree.
Where I have a difference here.
I agree, but the Jalen thing is more meaningful. Bryce Harper not hustling probably won't cost the Phillies the World Series. Jalen Hurts turning the football over could cost the Eagles Super Bowl.
But Bryce Harper not hustling in a game like if they lost, the 1 or 2 seed, the bye, having home field in the playoffs could come down to 1 or 2 games.
It could. Well, I mean, and Bryce should be knowing this because he's the one telling me the other day that this thing's not over. I get it. That's why I'm not giving out any passes here. No passes given out on WIP. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. I'll get back to everyone's phone calls here. Bryce Harper, your reaction to last night. Jalen Hurts, are you giving him a pass for week one? New offense, slippery field, all that kind of stuff. Your phone calls, and we will play for you towards the bottom of the hour. Nick Sirianni, his appearance this morning on with Joe and John on the Morning Show. That's all coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, starting my day with a good practice puts a smile on my face. And today, we got an exclusive taste of Hatfield's delicious new breakfast line. Savory breakfast ham slices, pork roll, juicy breakfast sausage links, can't say that fast, Canadian bacon, and coming soon to your grocery store. The frozen section has feels easy to prepare, frozen sausage patties and links. Perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to discover your new breakfast favorites. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Well, is you Douglas okay? Yeah, I guess.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Jalen Hurts, Bryce Harper. Are you giving out passes on a Tuesday? I'm not. Hugh and Kyle are giving out one. That's to the quarterback, not to Bryce Harper. Just one pass today?
That's it.
Is next week,
next week, the bar is a lot higher. Because I just throw in all the intangibles. You know, not making excuses, just looking at it for what it is. Next week, the bar is raised. And he can't, like, if it looks like a pattern, then yes, that's a problem.
Well, it'd be a big one, especially because the game on Friday was a toss-up game going in, right? The Packers are good. The Eagles are good. It was a game that could have went either way. I think a lot of predictions were on both sides. Monday night, they're favored by 6.5 points against the Falcons at home. And Kirk Cousins doesn't look particularly healthy, so they should win that game. And Jalen's got to be a big part of it. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we're going to let you hear Nick Sirianni on today with the morning show. Randy in Jersey is up. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's Randy. What are you thinking today?
There is no pass for Bryce Harper. He know what he needs to bench because this isn't the first time he's been criticized for hustling to the base, and if Topper hasn't talked to him about it already, that's another issue. He needs to find himself a game off to make a point to the rest of the guys. We want to cast his head for not hitting the ball. Bryce ain't hitting the ball, nor is he hustling.
Well, Randy, it would send a message. I mean, there's different ways for managers to send a message. Sitting Bryce Harper tonight would send the biggest message Chopper's probably ever sent, you know, in any of those kind of ways.
Harper is hitting the ball, though.
He's just not hitting it out.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Jalen Hurts, there's factors. That's not a pass. This is factors. Factors are, first of all, you've got to have some trust in your number one receiver. I don't think AJ's catching any heat for this, and he should. He was in triple coverage as his quarterback was rolling out and put his hand up. That is your quarterback should be able to trust your receiver finding an opening and for me to fit that ball in, and he did that, and there was no opening. Like OG said, there was no chance of catching that ball, and he put his hand up. Okay, so it's a factor that comes in there. Can't forget, this man is dealing with a brand-new offensive coordinator. His first game in Brazil, he's got some jitters. There's some bugs. They played sandlot football last year at the end of the season. They all hated playing that game at the end. That we can't even talk about that no more. We got a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. We got other things to count for. BG is teaching Huff. Vic Fangio told us in the beginning that this guy needs time to figure this out. What better to do than have him watch BG in the first half of the season? And when BG starts getting tired, we can give him more time off and play Huff.
That might be the way it goes, Randy, on the Huff and Graham thing. I would think as the year goes on, and Randy, good phone call, at the end it'll flip around and Huff would get more snaps. Hugh, that is an interesting take on this, on the interception in the end zone by Jalen.
So you mean since it's AJ's fault because he put his hand up?
So I'm not in that camp. Jalen's the trigger man, right? He decides where the football
and
goes.
He has,
now, AJ
he
did
has
do
more
that,
awareness.
Though.
Yeah, he did it, but
AJ slipped, too, after he threw his hand up.
But I think that Jalen has to realize where he is. Like he threw some passes the other night where he was in, like, Devontae was double covered one time and he threw it and he made it. So I mean, maybe he had faith in AJ in that situation.
Listen, I get it, but every number one receiver thinks they're open all the time, right? Like that's they're wired that way. I appreciate that. It's the quarterback's job to make the decision on where the ball goes. Like after the game, we can't be like, well, AJ put his hand up. Well, okay, Jalen didn't have to throw it. I mean, AJ could do whatever he wants. Jalen decides where the football goes and when it goes there. We'll continue the conversation. All your phone calls coming up. Let's hear first, though, from Nick Sirianni. He was on today with Joe and John. Here is that interview in its entirety.
Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello. And by the way, correction right out of the gate. Seltzer tells me you're playing Atlanta, and that would be my mistake.
You got the Kirk Cousins team wrong.
I did. Yeah. I can guarantee you the Kirk Cousins thing is what it was. Nick, hello. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, congrats on the victory. I know it must have felt fantastic to start the season off with a win there.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, it was a good start to the season. Got a lot of things to clean up, but to go on the road. Well, I guess it was a home game, but to go on the road and get a win, that's always a good thing, especially to start the season.
You know, Nick, I was watching you coach that game the other day, and one of the thoughts that went through my mind is it's got to be great. I mean, it's the first time you've coached a game in the NFL with Saquon on your team. What is it like for those 3 hours knowing you've got a player of that caliber on your squad?
Yeah, he's a big time player, and we've been seeing it through camp. We've seen it obviously on the opposite sideline as well. But to have him on our team and to have that type of guy on our team, the type of player, the type of teammate, knowing he can change the game anytime he touches the ball, which he did, was obviously was huge for us and was huge for us in that game. So he played a great game, and you know, both running the ball and catching the ball. You know, and he's a great leader, great teammate, and so love having him on our football team. Look forward to the type of year he can have as an Eagle.
It was so awesome to see the 26 touches. How do you balance Saquon's usage for health purposes, Nick? 26 touches, is that sustainable?
Yeah, I think what you do, like, you go into every single game, like, what do we have to do to win this game? And you have a plan going into the game, and then things change in the game. You got to adjust, and you know, we're going to do what we need to do to win every single game. If that means Saquon touches the ball 50 times, Saquon touches the ball 50 times. If it means he's got to touch it 10, you got to touch it 10. But you kind of manage him. You end up managing him through the week of practice, right? Because there's more knowns you can manage it during practice. When you get in the game, again, every game's so crucial. Every game's so critical.
Sure. Like,
we play 17 games. We got to do what we got to do to win that game. You know, and the situation of the game. I mean, we're on a, you know, why do carries get that high sometimes? You know, where it's 26 or 24 carries, I believe he had, because he had two mm-hmm. catches. It happens because you're in 4 minute football, right? So we're at the end of the game with 7 minutes. Like, love the fact that you can finish the ball, you know, almost finish the game and take as much time off the clock as we did in our 4 minute drill. And so Saquon got a lot of carries there in that time too, right? And we threw the ball a couple times in that one, and it was really good plays by Jalen and Devontae that helped us run that clock down to give them the ball back with 24 seconds. But when you have leads in games, you know, sometimes those carries go up even more than you were anticipating, especially when you get to these 4 minute drills. So every game's a little different, but every game is so critical in the NFL, and we'll do everything we can do to win each game, and then we'll have a plan for how we rest them throughout the week.
Sure, it's managing the body is important, and you know, when I played, it reminds me when Donovan McNabb was constantly reminded to protect himself by Andy Reid and his staff. You know, are you and your offensive staff reminding Jalen to get down early to protect himself too?
Yeah, always. His health is so important, and you know, he's got to make sure that when he can step out of bounds, he steps out of bounds, which he had a couple of those. But then Jalen's such a powerful runner, you know, he had a huge conversion in the 4 minute off of a pass that turned into a scramble where he lowers his shoulder and gets three extra or four extra yards. That was a powerful run too. You know, and so Jalen's got a good feel for when to go down and when to fight for some extra yards. We're always advising him to make sure he protects himself. But also we're trying, you know, scrambles, you know, it's on him, like planned runs. That's on us, for us to make sure that we're doing the right schemes, that we don't put him in danger. Now, you know, every run's a little bit different, but that's in the forefront of our mind. Every time we put a quarterback run in or a quarterback read play in, is how are we protecting Jalen on this play?
Sure. We as fans were just trying to figure out why Jalen looked like so quick and sprightly during camp. But on Friday, you know, I'm told I'm making excuses for Jalen, saying that the field was, you know, not where it needed to be for him to look as quick as he did during camp. Is there something to that, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I thought he looked quick. I thought he looked fast. I thought he made some plays with his feet when he needed to make plays. You got to remember this too. Like that team, as you could see for that team, like when it did turn into a scramble, they had a guy that was responsible, you know, for Jalen, when he would scramble, right? So they weren't rushing. You know, they would have a game on. And, you know, up front, and one of the guys was responsible for the edge. You can kind of see that with the contain and then how they would chase. And so, you know, they're putting themselves in position to do that. And I think that's always key to remember, like, you know, that there people, and that really helps our you know, our offensive line when they're so concerned about Jalen rushing or running the ball and becoming a runner after a pass play, you know, the second play. You know, that's a big deal, and they're taught, like, those D linemen, You know, that was a good D-line we played, too. Those D-linemen are told, do not let this guy out of the pot. You make sure you set this thing wide. Make sure we group rush to make sure we don't let him out of the pocket. So I don't think it's a thing that has anything to do with Jalen's athletic. Jalen didn't get slower from camp to the game, you know.
Huh.
It's more about the rush and how they try to contain him. And, you know, so that kind of looked that way. I think that can present itself that way sometimes.
That's really good to hear.
Nick Sirianni here with us on WIP, as he will be on a weekly basis, typically on Tuesdays. Nick, let's talk a little bit more about Jalen, this time in the passing game. So, obviously, some really good stuff Friday and some stuff that wasn't. What is the challenge for you as a coach and the coaching staff of how to smooth out the rough edges of him in the passing game? I mean, for me, in my standpoint watching Friday, it was primarily a decision-making standpoint. It's not how he throws the ball, but it's when and where he throws the ball. How do you, as a coach, kind of smooth out those rough edges?
I think we have a lot of rough edges to smooth out, you know, from the entire game. And you're trying to grow each week to get better each week. And so that's going to start, you know, yesterday the players had a lift. We didn't, you know, with this being a long week, not playing Monday night, you know, we get them today. So, you know, we'll be able to watch the tape with them today. And so that's going to start in the film room of, you know, first with our team meeting and kind of talking about the mistakes that we made, good plays that we made too. You know, you don't go in there and talk about the mistakes that we make, but, you know, you talk about the good ones too. But you're really, everyone needs to be self-critical of themselves, including myself. And because that's the only way you can get better. And so I'll start in the film room about some of the detail mistakes that we made, right? We didn't tackle well enough in this football game. You know, different factors that go into that, but, you know, it comes down to us and our fundamentals. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, whoever it is that's playing football, if it's, you know, if it's St. Joe's Prep, if it's Temple, if it's the Philadelphia Eagles, if you don't tackle well enough, you're not going to win a lot of football games. So we got to tackle better. And then we got to take care of the ball better, right? Because that's the biggest stat that goes week in, week out, is how did you take care of the football? You know, and so we didn't do a good enough job there either. And so it's us putting them in the right positions to succeed, and it's them being able to, and the players being able to execute. But those are the main things that we gotta fix with taking care of the football. But Jalen made some unbelievable plays in that game that without those plays, you know, and did he make some mistakes? Yeah, but we all made mistakes in that football game. But without some of the plays that he made, particularly down the stretch of that 4-minute drive to with some of those passes to Devontae, you know, he put us in position to win that game that we did.
Nick, you said something after the game I found fascinating, and I was glad you said it. So you said after the game you want the team to enjoy the win. Now, on the surface, it's like, well, of course, obviously. But it seemed to me like you were making a point, perhaps in reference to last year, to, you know, let's not get bogged down in trying to be, we want to be perfect, right? But there's only so perfect you can be. I mean, it's not an achievable goal to be perfect. And enjoy the accomplishment of winning a game. Was that a particular point of emphasis for you with this team this year, prior to week one, after week one, to say, hey, let's remember a win is a win and enjoy it?
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, through some of my talks with other coaches, our talks as a leadership council within the team, we want to make sure we're enjoying the journey, right? And you can get so bogged down with your expectations and this and that, and, you know, you can't live out your expectations for the entire year in one day, right? It's a day by day, your habits every single day. You can only win one game at a time, and you can only lose one game, and you can only lose one game at a time. And so it is about enjoying the journey, and you know, a connection of a team is what makes you want to be a part of this team, right? And obviously we have great jobs being football coaches and football players, but one of the things that makes it the best is that connection and the team. Like that's the best thing about being a football coach is that I'm still on a team, and you got to enjoy moments. You know, it's so hard to win in this league. Particularly, there's a lot of circumstances that went into this last game, you know, with the travel, with all the different things that went on. It's so hard to win. You got to enjoy it. You got to make sure that, yeah, we got things to clean up, but, you know, we got to enjoy this, you know, when we win. And I think that, you know, that's so important. And, you know, that's something that we're focused on. And again, that doesn't mean, we're not upset by mistakes that we made, that we're not working like crazy to fix those mistakes. It is just though that, can we be, you know, in the moment and be so excited that we beat a good football team, you know, in Brazil to open up the season? Like, there's 16 teams today that are 0-1, and there's 16 teams today that are 1-0, and we're 1-0, and we're going to enjoy that. We're going to celebrate that, and then we're going to get back to work and make sure we fix the things that we need to fix, you know, to make sure we can go 2-0.
Nick, is Devin White on board to be a backup linebacker on this team?
Yeah, Devin's had a good camp. You know, obviously he tweaked his ankle the other day, and he's had a good camp and been a great teammate from day one, and works his butt off. And so I'm excited that Devin's on this roster.
And Nick, let's talk about Brandon Graham. He's going to join us in just a moment here. I don't know if you know. Tell me if you do. Do you know that by playing in Friday's game, he set a franchise record, the first player in the history of the organization to get to year 15. He passed Chuck Bednarik, who had gotten a 14. Did you know that?
No, I did not. That's awesome.
It's an incredible accomplishment.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. He and he played a really good game. You know, he has so much energy. He brings so much energy to this building, to this team. So much positive energy, you know, and that's we need that. We need that pod. There's so much negative energy in just the world right now, you know, and we need everybody. I would say this, everybody in their business, everybody in what their place of work needs a Brandon Graham, somebody that comes to work every day, that's so excited to be there. That's so excited to be a good teammate. That's so excited to be a good defensive end. And, you know, like, so I love having him on this team and year 15 and passing, you know, Chuck Bednarik for, you know, most seasons. I love that. And by the way, he was knocking the hell out of people in that game. Like, what one thing that I thought he did so well in this game, he showed, you know, you want to be physically tough every single game you play. You want to be the, you know, this is still a game that the toughest team has the best chance to win. Right. And so you preach that, you talk about it all the time, and he was so physically tough in this game. A tight end tried to block him. Any time the tight end put his hands on him, he'd knocking him 4 yards back in the backfield. Anytime the defensive a tackle was trying to reach him or get him kicked out, he collapsed the hole. Like, he is a physical dude, great teammate. I hope you guys at WIP have somebody that brings the energy of your group up like Brandon Graham does for us.
There was Nick Sirianni this morning on with Joe and John. All right, a lot of stuff there. Jalen Hurts, his take on him. Hugh, I thought it was interesting the response to the Devin White situation. Joe asked him, is Devin on board being a backup on this team?
And he tried to say the nicest things he could because it's still, I think it's still a fluid situation.
Yeah, I guess yes would have been an awkward answer because that means he's definitely a backup. He didn't say yes at the end, praising the play there of Brandon Graham on Friday. And I didn't even realize that what Joe brought up. I mean, we know that Brandon Graham set the record for games played as an Eagle, but now he's the only player in franchise history to play this many years as a Philadelphia
Eagle. Look at BG with his old ass.
No, and I still out all, snapping say, Bryce Huff.
No, I still say that with all due respect, man, because that's a beautiful thing to be able to play at that position for as long as he's played, man. There ain't too many cats that have been able to do that. So shout out to BG for that, man.
Well, of course. And he's it's not like, you know, sometimes a player plays this long with a team and at the end he's just along for the ride. He's on the team.
Yeah, I was trying to be along for the ride.
Yeah, like I didn't want to say that. You said it. But
did you do anything for
him? I was trying to ride along, but they wouldn't let me.
On Friday, Bryce Huff didn't play that much. Brandon Graham wasn't just along for the ride. He was getting more snaps than Bryce Huff. You know, we'll see if that's sustainable throughout the season. But it's interesting. The other thing that Joe and John brought up with him there, Hugh, that I thought was interesting, is the amount of touches for Saquon Barkley. I mean, really, can they keep doing this? Can they keep using Saquon the way they used him on Friday night? Because, Hugh, that's a lot of touches, especially for the Eagles. They don't usually give backs 26 touches.
He ain't no spring chicken.
No, this is year 7.
I'll say this. I'm comfortable 15 to 20 touches a game.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, you know, and when I say that, like, I'm talking about mostly, probably some more in the passing game, because I think he's enough of a threat now in the running game. I could definitely see Saquon on certain situations because he is a threat in the passing game. He have like two or three carries for like 40, 45 yards or something like that. Like he'll have his 100-yard games. I think that like I could see him during the course of the season, 6 to 8 100-yard games sprinkled in there.
That makes sense, yeah.
But I could see him having games where, you know, maybe 150 all-purpose yards, something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So he's going to get his. He's definitely going to get his. He's a weapon. He's a weapon. And like you said, like Ross said earlier this morning, him staying healthy is going to be a huge factor in all of what we're talking about.
Well, the burst, I mean, Ross said this, the burst he had, the explosion he had on Friday night, it did look like he turned back the clock a little bit. I mean, he's probably rejuvenated just being on a good team, you know, being on a team with an offensive line like this. Now, can he sustain that over the full season? I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, if he does, he'll be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year. That's how good he looked on Friday night against the Packers. 215-592-9494. For your reaction to Nick Sirianni, what he said to Joe and John this morning, and, of course, your take on Jalen Hurts. Are you giving him a pass for week number one? Most people are today. Hugh is, Kyle is.
I'm in the pass business.
Yeah, I'm not giving any passes around here. Passes on WIP. What happened?
I'm clean slate Kyle today.
Yeah, I know. You really are.
That's a good one. Clean slate Kyle. I like that.
Clean slate. No passes from me for Jalen Hurts. He's got to be better. He has to stop turning the football over, which feels like a pattern now over the course of a year plus where he turns the football over way too much. Where are you on Jalen and Bryce Harper? Are you giving him a pass? I think we're all aligned on that. No passes for Bryce Harper. Run when you hit the baseball. Last night, he got bailed out by Cody Clements. 215-592-9494. Your reaction, your phone call is coming up. It is the Midday Show, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're talking passes today here. Are you giving one to Jalen? What about Bryce Harper after last? Let's go back to the phone lines. Next hour, we'll have the Phillies Magic Number Countdown and the debut of Kiss the Baby. Every week, the three of us are each going to eliminate another NFL team from contention to win the Super Bowl. Full elimination. You can't bring him back from the dead. By the end of the year, we'll see how many, which one of us has the best record here in terms of eliminating teams that actually do miss the playoffs. We'll get to that. Ron in Pennsauken. Hey, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's Ron. Up, what's up?
All right. Listen, it's far too much complaining going on. I'm giving Jalen a pass. I'm with you. He made history along with both teams.
History.
In Brazil.
You heard him.
What history? You
know, first team to win in Brazil with the NFL going over there every year.
But someone had to win the game.
If they put me in Brazil, I could have made history.
Talk to him, Ron.
You know, we dealing with feelings and emotions.
Talk to him, Ron.
Ron, hold on a second.
Talk to him.
Ron, hold on. They didn't play on the moon with oxygen masks on. They played in Brazil.
Would you let Ron cook, please?
I'm just saying, like, they play sports there all the time. It's not
would you let him cook,
please? Not Mount Everest.
Listen, they play football, but a different brand.
Yeah, football. We play football Americana.
One small step
all the time. They, you know, they fly, they run. You know, we were slipping all over the place. Our brand of football doesn't involve sliding.
Doesn't translate.
It doesn't, not at all. So, you know, Jalen
like
made some mistakes.
With this.
He made some mistakes. Give him a little bit of grace. You know, the pass to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown slipped.
He
should have threw it a little earlier.
A little earlier.
But A.J. Brown slipped. We seen last year, since we have revisionist history going into the past against the Steelers, 2-3 defenders. We seen A.J. complete those passes. We've seen Mawson dominate. So Jalen has trust in A.J. A.J. asked for the ball. He threw him the ball.
But it's not a good decision. It's not a good decision. It's across his body as he's running right, he's throwing left. It's back to the middle of the field.
And I can point to about half the quarterbacks in the league who've made that same throw.
And it's a poor decision. I don't care who they are. And the other thing, Ron, and I understand what you're saying, but Jalen has to know his limits, and so do we. Josh Allen has the arm to get that football in there. Jalen Hurts doesn't. I think his arm is fine. It's good.
How many interceptions Josh throw?
But guess what? He also gets that ball in there sometimes.
Jalen throws a lot of interceptions.
That's fine.
Too.
But he's better than Jalen Hurts.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about Josh Allen. His interception numbers. He's a double digit king too.
They probably are in Buffalo radio.
Yeah, they probably are.
He's a double digit king.
Mm. Well, so is Jalen Hurts lately. He used to not be.
Listen, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Why? Why are you taking interceptions?
Because Jalen's numbers prove that he's a winner. Everybody makes mistakes. There's only one Jesus. There's only one God.
Nobody's perfect. You heard him. He hit you with one Jesus.
I mean, Ron, I can't argue that one. You get that one. I don't know what it has to do with Jalen Hurts, Ron, but you're right.
He came with a lot. I mean, making history, Jesus.
Ron dropped the mic with the one Jesus, though. He hit you with Jesus. You can't. Hey, when somebody say Jesus, dog, that's the end of the conversation.
I don't know what it has to do with Jalen
Hurts. He made history by playing in Brazil, Joe.
He did, Joe. Let him cook.
No, I let him cook.
The Eagles could have had Joe Giglio at quarterback, and Joe would have technically been making history by playing in Brazil.
There is spin, and then there is.
Hey, listen.
Listen, Joe, there's only one Jesus. All right.
Hey, listen. You want to end the conversation quick? Go ahead and drop a Jesus at the end of that conversation. In Jesus' name.
You just got cooked.
I might try this later. Next time I'm in a debate with someone.
You're arguing with your wife to say, Jesus wept. And she's probably going to look at you like, what the hell are you talking about?
Next Jolly versus Giglio. Yeah. Jolly, one Jesus.
You just got to drop a Jesus, man. Just drop a Jesus. Listen, people, just drop a Jesus in a conversation at the end. It don't have to make sense. Just drop it and see what happens.
Well, it's over. I mean, what do you say after that?
Yeah, because it ain't nothing you can't say.
You know, I didn't think it would be top that he made history because he's the first quarterback to win in Brazil. Well, someone had to win the game.
But, dude, that's a truism.
There were only two anyway.
Hold on a second.
But it's not a lie.
It's not a lie. But what does it mean?
It means it was his point that he brought up.
It's not impressive.
That was the first.
right, like, let's say they play a game next. Have they played a game in India? No, we haven't done that yet, right?
Not yet.
All right, let's say we play an NFL game.
I must venture to say probably not, though. They probably won't go to India.
Okay, I'm just using hypothetical.
Leave India alone.
In Jesus' name.
If they play a game in India, and the game is 2-0 at the end, a safety wins the game, are we going to say, well, that quarterback, first one to win in India?
Yes.
If it fits the conversation. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Right. You might need to add a row to your Jalen Hurts bingo board.
Oh, this bingo! I need to
making
add five
history
rows.
And one Jesus.
It's unbelievable. We're okay with interceptions now because they won the game. What if they lost? Are we okay with the interceptions then?
There's only one Jesus.
There is just one
Forgot
Jesus.
About that,
just one God. Mad Mike, King of Prussia. What's up, Mad Mike?
How are we doing today, guys?
There's just one Jesus.
We are not giving passes at all. No one gets a pass. And real quick before I go into that, you know what Nick Sirianni is? Nick Sirianni is that little brother that you give him an unplugged video game controller and he thinks he's playing and winning.
That is not cool.
I'm a high school football coach at heart.
That's Nick Sirianni.
No, Mike, you don't get a pass for being on speakerphone during this phone call. How many times have you been calling into the radio station, buddy?
I got to say, the last two callers, they're coming up with things. I mean, these are unique things.
Come on. Your little brother, you get an unplugged controller.
After the game, he was pretending like he did something, like he was some big shot. And he was just sitting there, and his big brother was playing the game. The offensive and defensive coordinators were playing the game. And he was like, look, I just won. Awesome.
I'm gonna picture Sirianni with the controller.
That
in his hand
was
on
a
Monday.
Good one, though. That was a good
All right,
one.
What are you thinking on Jalen, Mike?
Jalen has how long has he been the quarterback? St. Jalen, who can do no wrong, $252 million, and he's throwing interceptions like an idiot. And you know why he's doing that? You know why? Because 2022 was a mirage. He played garbage teams. And he's lost all of his athleticism, and he can't get to the corner and run. And now he's got to actually make quarterback throws, and he doesn't know what he's doing because he can't read defenses because he's dumb.
Oh.
Well, I don't think he's dumb, but I do think this. The fact that his athleticism has changed, and Mike, we preached a phone call, it's changed the way he has to play. And Hugh, he can evolve. I mean, an example of this is Russell Wilson. Not the current Russell, who's now not even the starting quarterback for the Steelers.
He could.
I think it's over. But 5 years ago, Russell, when he was still good in Seattle,
yes.
his legs weren't the same, and he had to change the way he played. He was still effective for a good amount of time without his legs being a big part of it like they were early in his career. Jalen's got to evolve, and that means if he can't make as many plays with his legs, Hugh, more with his arms, and he has to be smarter of where he's throwing the ball.
Pick his spots. He has to do a better job of picking his spots, man, and I've been saying that all week long. I think that I don't have a problem with Jalen not running that much. I really don't. I don't have a problem with the tush push not being a big part of the offense. I need those weapons. Like, feed the beast, man. Feed the beast. Feed Saquon. Feed skinny Batman. Feed big Batman. Feed all those targets that you have. Hell, feed Dallas Goedert. Like, get them the football, man, and let them cook. You're still going to get yours. You're going to still get your accolades. Mm-hmm. Let those other guys do their job.
I mean, we really heard some wild stuff this segment here. I mean, we went from making history in Brazil as the first quarterback to win a game in Brazil to there's only one Jesus.
Only one Jesus.
To Sirianni is the little brother with the controller in his hand.
I need to work Jesus back into the conversation as much as I possibly can.
I think we got a knot on WIP. Maybe.
We got a what?
I think we maybe stay away from the Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
As much as we can on WIP,
But listen, there is. I mean, it did make me laugh. I can't lie.
You might be right.
I just didn't even know what to say after.
But the little brother and the controller, though, that was a good one.
Well, because everyone's done that at some point, right? If you have a sibling and they're younger than you.
Hey, yeah, you can play.
You're playing too, yeah. And then they hold the control in their hand and they think they're driving the car or whatever the game is and they're not actually playing.
I wasn't a big let my little brother win though guy.
What's the gap between you guys?
6 years.
Yeah, that's a close enough gap that it's okay. Yeah, you don't want to let him
I had to dominate him.
Well, but like when you're a teenager and he's like 7, you still wanted to win?
No.
Yeah. Bill's character. Bills character.
At some point, you got to let him win, right?
No, dude. He's got to learn to earn it on his own.
All right. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show. On the other side, Philly's matchup. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. And Kiss the Baby. We'll unveil that in the 1 o'clock hour. Which team are we officially eliminating from Super Bowl contention today? It's over. The season is dead for the teams we announced today. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Jalen Hurts, Bryce Harper. Are you giving out passes on a Tuesday? I'm not. Hugh and Kyle are giving out one. That's to the quarterback, not to Harper. Just one pass today?
That's it.
Is
next week, next week, the bar is a lot higher. Because I just throw in all the intangibles. You know, not making excuses, just looking at it for what it is. Next week, the bar is raised. And he can't, like, if it looks like a pattern, then yes, that's a problem.
Well, it'd be a big one, especially because the game on Friday was a toss-up game going in, right? The Packers are good. The Eagles are good. It was a game that could have went either way. I think a lot of predictions were on both sides. Monday night, they're favored by 6.5 points against the Falcons at home. And Kirk Cousins doesn't look particularly healthy, so they should win that game. And Jalen's got to be a big part of it. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we're going to let you hear Nick Sirianni on today with the morning show. Randy in Jersey is up. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's Randy. What are you thinking today?
There is no pass for Bryce Harper. He know what he needs to bench because this isn't the first time he's been criticized for hustling to the base, and if Topper hasn't talked to him about it already, that's another issue. He needs to find himself a game off to make a point to the rest of the guys. We want to cast his head for not hitting the ball. Bryce ain't hitting the ball, nor is he hustling.
Well, Randy, it would send a message. I mean, there's different ways for managers to send a message. Sitting Bryce Harper tonight would send the biggest message Chopper's probably ever sent, you know, in any of those kind of ways.
Harper is hitting the ball, though.
He's just not hitting it out.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Jalen Hurts, there's factors. That's not a pass. This is factors. Factors are, first of all, you got to have some trust in your number one receiver. I don't think AJ's catching any heat for this, and he should. He was in triple coverage as his quarterback was rolling out and put his hand up. That is your quarterback should be able to trust your receiver finding an opening and for me to fit that ball in, and he did that, and there was no opening. Like OG said, there was no chance of catching that ball, and he put his hand up. Okay, so it's a factor that comes in there. Can't forget, this man is dealing with a brand-new offensive coordinator. His first game in Brazil, he's got some jitters. There's some bugs. They played sandlot football last year at the end of the season. They all hated playing that game at the end. That we can't even talk about that no more. We got a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. We got other things to count for. BG is teaching Huff. Vic Fangio told us in the beginning that this guy needs time to figure this out. What better to do than have him watch BG in the first half of the season? And when BG starts getting tired, we can give him more time off and play Huff.
That might be the way it goes, Randy, on the Huff and Graham thing. I would think as the year goes on, and Randy, good phone call, at the end it'll flip around and Huff would get more snaps. Hugh, that is an interesting take on this, on the interception in the end zone by Jalen.
So you mean since it's AJ's fault because he put his hand up?
So I'm not in that camp. Jalen's the trigger man, right? He decides where the football
and
goes.
He has,
now, AJ
he
did
has
do
more
that,
awareness.
Though.
Yeah, he did it, but
AJ slipped, too, but after he threw his hand up.
But I think that Jalen has to realize where he is. Like he threw some passes the other night where he was in, like, Devontae was double covered one time and he threw it and he made it. So I mean, maybe he had faith in AJ in that situation.
Listen, I get it, but every number one receiver thinks they're open all the time, right? Like that's they're wired that way. I appreciate that. It's the quarterback's job to make the decision on where the ball goes. Like after the game, we can't be like, well, AJ put his hand up. Well, okay, Jalen didn't have to throw it. I mean, AJ could do whatever he wants. Jalen decides where the football goes and when it goes there. We'll continue the conversation. All your phone calls coming up. Let's hear first, though, from Nick Sirianni. He was on today with Joe and John. Here is that interview in its entirety.
Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello. And by the way, correction right out of the gate. Seltzer tells me you're playing Atlanta, and that would be my mistake.
You got the Kirk Cousins team wrong.
I did. Yeah. I can guarantee you the Kirk Cousins thing is what it was. Nick, hello. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, congrats on the victory. I know it must have felt fantastic to start the season off with a win there.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, it was a good start to the season. Got a lot of things to clean up, but to go on the road Well, I guess it was a home game, but to go on the road and get a win, you know, that's always a good thing, especially to start the season.
You know, Nick, I was watching you coach that game the other day, and one of the thoughts that went through my mind is it's got to be great. I mean, it's the first time you've coached a game in the NFL with Saquon on your team. What is it like for those 3 hours knowing you've got a player of that caliber on your squad?
Yeah, he's a big time player, and we've been seeing it through camp. We've seen it obviously on the opposite sideline as well. But to have him on our team and to have that type of guy on our team, the type of player, the type of teammate, you know, knowing he can change the game anytime he touches the ball, which he did, you know, was obviously was huge for us and was huge for us in that game. So he played a great game and. You know, both running the ball and catching the ball. And, you know, and he's a great leader, great teammate. And so love having him on our football team. Look forward to the type of year he can have as an Eagle.
It was so awesome to see the 26 touches. How do you balance Saquon's usage for health purposes, Nick? 26 touches, is that sustainable?
Yeah, I think what you do, like you go into every single game, like what do we have to do to win this game? And you have a plan going into the game, and then things change in the game. You got to adjust, and you know we're going to do what we need to do to win every single game. If that means Saquon touches the ball 50 times, Saquon touches the ball 50 times. If it means he's got to touch it 10, you got to touch it 10. But you kind of manage him. You end up managing him through. The week of practice, right? Because there's more knowns you can manage it during practice. When you get in the game again, every game's so crucial. Every game's so critical.
Sure. Like
we play 17 games. We got to do what we got to do to win that game. You know, and the situation of the game. I mean, we're on a you know why do carries get that high sometimes? You know, where it's 26 or 24 carries, I believe he had because he had two catches. It happens because you're in 4 minute football, right? So we're at the end of the game with 7 minutes. Like, love the fact that you can finish the ball, you know, almost finish the game and take as much time off the clock as we did in our 4 minute drill. And so Saquon got a lot of carries there in that time too, right? And we threw the ball a couple times in that one, and it was really good plays by Jalen and Devontae that helped us run that clock down to give them the ball back with 24 seconds. But when you have leads in games, you know, sometimes those carries go up even more than you were anticipating, especially when you get to these four-minute drills. So every game's a little different, but every game is so critical in the NFL, and we'll do everything we can do to win each game, and then we'll have a plan for how we rest them throughout the week.
Sure. It's managing the body is important. And, you know, when I played, it reminds me when Donovan McNabb was constantly reminded to protect himself by Andy Reid and his staff. You know, are you and your offensive staff reminding Jalen to get down early to protect himself too?
Yeah, always. His health is so important. And, you know, he's got to make sure that when he can step out of bounds, he steps out of bounds, which he had a couple of those. But then Jalen's such a powerful runner. You know, he had a huge conversion in the 4 minute off of a pass that turned into a scramble where he lowers his shoulder and gets three extra or four extra yards. That was a powerful run too. You know, and so Jalen's got a good feel for when to go down and when to fight for some extra yards. We're always advising him to make sure he protects himself. But also we're trying, you know, scrambles, you know, it's on him, like planned runs. That's on us for us to make sure that we're doing the right schemes that we don't put him in danger. Now, you know, every run's a little bit different, but that's in the forefront of our mind. Every time we put a quarterback run in or a quarterback read play in, is how are we protecting Jalen on this play?
Sure. We as fans were just trying to figure out why Jalen looked like so quick and sprightly during camp. But on Friday, you know, I'm told I'm making excuses for Jalen, saying that the field was, you know, not where it needed to be for him to look as quick as he did during camp. Is there something to that, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I thought he looked quick. I thought he looked fast. I thought he made some plays with his feet when he needed to make plays. You got to remember this too. Like that team, as you could see for that team, like when it did turn into a scramble, They weren't. They had a guy that was responsible, you know, for Jalen when he would scramble, right? So they weren't rushing. You know, they would have a game on, and you know, up front, and one of the guys was responsible for the edge. You could kind of see if you can kind of see that with the contain, and then how they would chase, and so you know, they're putting themselves in position to do that, and I think that's always key to remember, like you know that. There people, and that really helps our you know our offensive line when they're so concerned about Jalen rushing or running the ball and becoming a runner after a pass play, you know, the second play, you know, that's a big deal, and they're taught, like those D linemen, you know, that was a good D line we played too. Those D linemen are told, do not let this guy out of the pot. You make sure you set this thing wide. Make sure we group rush to make sure we don't let him out of the pocket. So I don't think it's a thing that has anything to do with Jalen's athletic. Jalen didn't get slower from camp to the game, you know.
Huh.
It's more about the rush and how they try to contain him, and you know, so that kind of looked that way. I think that can present itself that way sometimes.
That's really good to hear.
Nick Sirianni here with us on WIP, as he will be on a weekly basis, typically on Tuesdays. Nick, let's talk a little bit more about Jalen, this time in the passing game. So, obviously, some really good stuff Friday and some stuff that wasn't. What is the challenge for you as a coach and the coaching staff of how to smooth out the rough edges of him in the passing game? I mean, for me, in my standpoint watching Friday, it was primarily a decision-making standpoint. It's not how he throws the ball, but it's when and where he throws the ball. How do you, as a coach, kind of smooth out those rough edges?
I think we have a lot of rough edges to smooth out, you know, from the entire game, and that's what. And you're trying to grow each week to get better each week, and so that's going to start. You know, yesterday the players had a lift. We didn't, you know, with this being a long week, not playing Monday night. You know, we get them today, so you know we'll be able to watch the tape with them today. And so that's going to start in the film room of, you know, first with our team meeting and kind of talking about the mistakes that we made, good plays that we made too. You know, you don't go in there and talk about the mistakes that we make, but, you know, you talk about the good ones too. But you're really, everyone needs to be self-critical of themselves, including myself. And because that's the only way you can get better. And so I'll start in the film room about some of the detail mistakes that we made, right? We didn't tackle well enough in this football game. You know, different factors that go into that, but you know, it comes down to us and our fundamentals. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, whoever it is that's playing football. If it's, you know, if it's St. Joe's Prep, if it's Temple, if it's the Philadelphia Eagles. If you don't tackle well enough, you're not going to win a lot of football games. So we got to tackle better. And then we got to take care of the ball better, right? Because that's the biggest stat that goes week in, week out, is how did you take care of the football? You know, and so we didn't do a good enough job there either. And so it's us putting them in the right positions to succeed, and it's them being able to, and the players being able to execute. But those are the main things that we gotta fix with taking care of the football. But Jalen made some unbelievable plays in that game that without those plays, you know, and did he make some mistakes? Yeah, but we all made mistakes in that football game. But without some of the plays that he made, particularly down the stretch of that 4-minute drive to with some of those passes to Devontae, you know, he put us in position to win that game that we did.
Nick, you said something after the game I found fascinating, and I was glad you said it. So you said after the game you want the team to enjoy the win. Now, on the surface, it's like, well, of course, obviously. But it seemed to me like you were making a point, perhaps in reference to last year, to, you know, let's not get bogged down in trying to be, we want to be perfect, right? But there's only so perfect you can be. I mean, it's not an achievable goal to be perfect. And enjoy the accomplishment of winning a game. Was that a particular point of emphasis for you with this team this year, prior to week one, after week one, to say, hey, let's remember a win is a win and enjoy it?
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, through some of my talks with other coaches, our talks as a leadership council within the team, we want to make sure we're enjoying the journey, right? And you can get so bogged down with your expectations and this and that, and you know you can't live out your expectations for the entire year in one day, right? It's a day by day, your habits every single day. You can only win one game at a time, And you can only lose one game. And you can only lose one game at a time. And so it is about enjoying the journey. And you know, a connection of a team is what makes you want to be a part of this team, right? And obviously we have great jobs being football coaches and football players. But one of the things that makes it the best is that connection and the team. Like that's the best thing about being a football coach is that I'm still on a team. And you got to enjoy moments. It's so hard to win in this league. Particularly, there's a lot of circumstances that went into this last game, you know, with the travel, with all the different things that went on. It's so hard to win. You got to enjoy it. You got to make sure that, yeah, we got things to clean up, but, you know, we got to enjoy this, you know, when we win. And I think that, you know, that's so important. And, you know, that's something that we're focused on. And, again, that doesn't mean we're not upset by mistakes that we made, that we're not working like crazy to fix those mistakes. It is just, though, that can we be, you know, in the moment and be so excited that we beat a good football team, you know, in Brazil to open up the season. Like, there's 16 teams today that are 0-1, and there's 16 teams today that are 1-0, and we're 1-0. And we're going to enjoy that. We're going to celebrate that, and then we're going to get back to work and make sure we fix the things that we need to fix, you know, to make sure we can go 2-0.
Nick, is Devin White on board to be a backup linebacker on this team?
Yeah, Devin's had a good camp. You know, obviously he tweaked his ankle the other day, and he's had a good camp and been a great teammate from day one, and works his butt off. And so I'm excited that Devin's on this roster.
And Nick, let's talk about Brandon Graham. He's going to join us in just a moment here. I don't know if you know. Tell me if you do. Do you know that by playing in Friday's game, he set a franchise record, the first player in the history of the organization to get to year 15. He passed Chuck Bednarik, who had gotten a 14. Did you know that?
No, I did not. That's awesome.
It's an incredible accomplishment.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. He played a really good game. You know, he has so much energy. He brings so much energy to this building, to this team. So much positive energy, you know, we need that. We need that pod. There's so much negative energy in just the world right now, you know, and we need everybody. I would say this, everybody in their business, everybody in what their place of work needs a Brandon Graham. Somebody that comes to work every day, that's so excited to be there. That's so excited to be a good teammate. That's so excited to be a good defensive end. And, you know, like, so I love having him on this team and year 15 and passing, Chuck Bednarik for, you know, most seasons. I love that. And by the way, he was knocking the hell out of people in that game. Like, what one thing that I thought he did so well in this game, he showed, you know, you want to be physically tough every single game you play. You want to be this is still a game that the toughest team has the best chance to win. Right. And so you preach that, you talk about it all the time, and he was so physically tough in this game. A tight end tried to block him. Anytime a tight end put his hands on him, he'd knock him 4 yards back in the backfield. Anytime a tackle was trying to reach him or get him kicked out, he collapsed the hole. Like, he is a physical dude, great teammate. I hope you guys at WIP have somebody that brings the energy of your group up like Brandon Graham does for us.
There was Nick Sirianni this morning on with Joe and John. All right, a lot of stuff there. Jalen Hurts, his take on him. Hugh, I thought it was interesting the response to the Devin White situation. Joe asked him, is Devin on board being a backup on this team?
And he tried to say the nicest things he could because it's still, I think it's still a fluid situation.
Yeah, I guess yes would have been an awkward answer because that means he's definitely a backup. He didn't say yes at the end, praising the play there of Brandon Graham on Friday. And I didn't even realize that what Joe brought up. I mean, we know that Brandon Graham set the record for games played as an Eagle, but now he's the only player in franchise history to play this many years as a Philadelphia.
Look at BG with his old ass.
No, and I still out all, snapping I say, Bryce Huff.
No, I still say that with all due respect, man, because that's a beautiful thing to be able to play at that position for as long as he's played, man. There ain't too many cats that have been able to do that. So shout out to BG for that, man.
Well, of course. And he's, again, he's, it's not like, you know, sometimes a player plays this long with a team and at the end he's just along for the ride. He's on the team.
Yeah, I was trying to be along for the ride.
Yeah, like I didn't want to say that. You said it. But
did you do anything for
us? Yeah, I was trying to ride along, but they wouldn't let me.
On Friday, Bryce Huff didn't play that much. Brandon Graham wasn't just along for the ride. He was getting more snaps than Bryce Huff. You know, we'll see if that's sustainable throughout the season. But it's interesting. The other thing that Joe and John brought up with him there, Hugh, that I thought was interesting, is the amount of touches for Saquon Barkley. I mean, really, can they keep doing this? Can they keep using Saquon the way they used him on Friday night? Because, Hugh, that's a lot of touches.
Yeah.
Especially for the Eagles. They don't usually give backs 26 touches.
He ain't no spring chicken.
No, this is year seven.
I'll say this. I'm comfortable 15 to 20 touches a game.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, you know, and when I say that, like, I'm talking about mostly, probably some more in the passing game. Because I think he's enough of a threat now in the running game. I could definitely see Saquon on certain situations because he is a threat in the passing game. He have like two or three carries for like 40, 45 yards or something like that. Like, he'll have his 100-yard games. I think that like, I could see him during the course of the season, 6 to 8 100-yard games sprinkled in there.
That makes sense, yeah.
But I could see him having games where, you know, maybe 150 all-purpose yards, something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So he's going to get his. He's definitely going to get his. He's a weapon. He's a weapon. And like you said, like Ross said earlier this morning, him staying healthy is going to be a huge factor in all of what we're talking about.
Well, the burst, and Ross said this, the burst he had, the explosion he had on Friday night, it did look like he turned back the clock a little bit. I mean, he's probably rejuvenated just being on a good team, you know, being on a team with an offensive line like this. Now, can he sustain that over the full season? I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, if he does, he'll be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year. That's how good he looked on Friday night against the Packers. 215-592-949 for your reaction to Nick Sirianni, what he said to Joe and John this morning, and, of course, your take on Jalen Hurts. Are you giving him a pass for week number one? Most people are today. Hugh is, Kyle is.
I'm in the pass.
Business. Yeah, I'm not giving any passes around here. Passes on WIP. What happened?
I'm clean slate Kyle today.
Yeah, I know. You really are. No, that's
a good one. Clean slate Kyle. I like that.
Clean slate. No passes from me for Jalen Hurts. He's got to be better. He has to stop turning the football over, which feels like a pattern now over the course of a year plus where he turns the football over way too much. Where are you on Jalen and Bryce Harper? Are you giving him a pass? I think we're all aligned on that. No passes for Bryce Harper. Run when you hit the baseball. Last night, he got bailed out by Cody Clements. 215-592-9490 for your reaction. Your phone call is coming up. It is the Midday Show, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9490. We're talking passes today here. Are you giving one to Jalen? What about Bryce Harper after last? Let's go back to the phone lines. Next hour, we'll have the Phillies Magic Number Countdown and the debut of Kiss the Baby. Every week, the three of us are each going to eliminate another NFL team from contention to win the Super Bowl. Full elimination. You can't bring them back from the dead. By the end of the year, we'll see which one of us has the best record here in terms of eliminating teams that actually do miss the playoffs. We'll get to that. Ron in Pennsauken. Hey, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's Ron. Up, what's up?
All right. listen, it's far too much complaining going on. I'm giving Jalen a pass. I'm with you. He made history along with both teams.
History.
In Brazil.
You heard him.
What history?
You know, first team to win in Brazil with the NFL going over there every year.
But someone had to win the game.
If they put me in Brazil, I could have made history.
Talk to him, Ron.
You know, we dealing with feelings and emotions.
Talk to him, Ron.
Ron, hold on a second.
Talk to him.
Ron, hold on. Ron, I just got... They didn't play on the moon with oxygen masks on. They played in Brazil.
Would you let Ron cook, please?
I'm just saying, like, they play sports there all the time. It's not Mount Everest.
Listen, they play football, but a different brand.
Yeah, football. Brand we play football Americana.
One small step
all the time. They run. You know, we were slipping all over the place. Our brand of football doesn't involve sliding.
Doesn't translate.
It doesn't, not at all. So, you know, Jalen
like
made
Ron's
some mistakes.
Going with this.
He made some mistakes. Give him a little bit of grace. You know, the pass to
AJ Brown slipped. He should have threw it a little earlier.
A little earlier.
But AJ Brown slipped. We seen last year, since we have revisionist history going into the past against the Steelers, 2-3 defenders. We seen AJ complete those passes. We seen Mawson dominate. So Jalen has trust in AJ. AJ asked for the ball. He threw him the ball.
But it's not a good decision. It's not a good decision. It's across his body as he's running right. He's throwing left. It's back to the middle of the field.
And I can point to about half the quarterbacks in the league who've made that same throw.
And it's a poor decision. I don't care who they are. And the other thing, Ron, and I understand what you're saying, but Jalen has to know his limits, and so do we. Josh Allen has the arm to get that football in there. Jalen Hurts doesn't. I think his arm is fine. It's good.
How many interceptions Josh throw?
But guess what? He also gets that ball in there sometimes.
He throws a lot of interceptions.
That's fine.
Too.
But he's better than Jalen Hurts.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about Josh Allen. His interception numbers. He's a double digit king too.
They probably are in Buffalo radio.
Yeah, they probably are.
He's a double digit king.
Mm. Well, so is Jalen Hurts lately. He used to not be.
Listen, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Why are you taking interceptions?
Jalen's numbers prove that he's a winner. Everybody makes mistakes. There's only one Jesus. There's only one God. Nobody's perfect.
You heard him. He hit you with one Jesus.
I mean, Ron, I can't argue that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that one. I don't know what it has to do with Jalen Hurts, Ron, but you're right.
He came with a lot. I mean, making history, Jesus.
Ron dropped the mic with the one Jesus, though. He hit you with Jesus. You can't. Hey, when somebody say Jesus, dog, that's the end of the conversation.
I don't know what it has to do with
Jalen
Hurts.
He made history by playing in Brazil, Joe.
He did, Joe. Let him cook.
No, I let him cook.
The Eagles could have had Joe Giglio at quarterback, and Joe would have technically been making history by playing in Brazil.
There is spin, and then there is.
Hey, listen.
Listen, Joe, there's only one Jesus. All right. Hey, listen.
You want to end the conversation quick? Go ahead and drop a Jesus at the end of that conversation. In Jesus' name.
You just got cooked.
I might try this later. Next time I'm in a debate with someone.
When you argue with your wife, just say, Jesus wept. And she's probably going to look at you like, what the hell are you talking about?
Next Jolly versus Giglio. Yeah. Jolly, one Jesus.
You just got to drop a Jesus, man. Just drop a Jesus. Just drop a Jesus in a conversation at the end. It don't have to make sense. Just drop it and see what happens.
Well, it's over. I mean, what do you say after that?
Yeah, because it ain't nothing you can't say.
You know, I didn't think it would be top that he made history because he's the first quarterback to win in Brazil. Well, someone had to win the game.
But, dude, that's a truism.
There were only two anyway. Hold on a second.
But it's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
But what does it mean?
It means it was his point that he brought up.
It's not impressive.
That was the first.
All right, let's say they play a game next. Have they played a game in India? No, we haven't done that yet, right?
Not yet.
All right, let's say we play an NFL game.
I must venture to say probably not, though. They probably won't go to India.
Okay, I'm just using hypothetical.
Leave India alone.
In Jesus' name.
If they play a game in India, and the game is 2-0 at the end, a safety wins the game, are we going to say, well, that quarterback, first one to win in India?
Yes.
If it fits the conversation. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Right. You might need to add a row to your Jalen Hurts bingo board.
Oh, this bingo! Well, I need to
make
five
history
rows.
And one Jesus.
It's unbelievable. We're okay with interceptions now because they won the game. What if they lost? Are we okay with the interceptions then?
There's only one Jesus.
There is just one Jesus. Mad Mike, King of Prussia. What's up, Mad Mike?
How are we doing today, guys?
There's just one Jesus.
We are not giving passes at all. No one gets a pass. And real quick before I go into that, you know what Nick Sirianni is? Nick Sirianni is that little brother that you give him an unplugged video game controller, and he thinks he's playing and winning.
That is not cool.
I'm a high school football coach at heart.
That's Nick Sirianni.
No, Mike, you don't get a pass for being on speakerphone during this phone call. How many times have you been calling into the radio station, buddy?
I got to say, the last two callers, they're coming up with things. I mean, these are unique things.
Your little brother, you get unplugged controller.
After the game, he was pretending like he did something, like he was some big shot. And he was just sitting there, and his big brother was playing the game. The offensive and defensive coordinators were playing the game. And he was like, look, I just won. Awesome.
I'm going to picture Sirianni with the controller.
That was
on
a good one, though. That was a good one.
All right,
one.
What are you thinking on Jalen, Mike?
Jalen has how long has he been the quarterback? St. Jalen, who can do no wrong, $252 million.
And he's throwing interceptions like an idiot. And you know why he's doing that? You know why? Because 2022 was a mirage. He played garbage teams, and he's lost all of his athleticism, and he can't get to the corner and run, and now he's got to actually make quarterback throws, and he doesn't know what he's doing because he can't read defenses because he's dumb.
Oh. Well, I don't think he's dumb, but I do think this. The fact that his athleticism has changed, and Mike, we preached a phone call, it's changed the way he has to play. And Hugh, he can evolve. I mean, example of this is Russell Wilson. Not the current Russell, who's now not even the starting quarterback for the Steelers. I think it's over. But 5 years ago, Russell, when he was still good in Seattle, his legs weren't the same, and he had to change the way he played. He was still effective for a good amount of time without his legs being a big part of it like they were early in his career. Jalen's got to evolve, and that means if he can't make as many plays with his legs, Hugh, more with his arms, and he has to be smarter of where he's throwing the ball.
Pick his spots. He has to do a better job of picking his spots, man, and I've been saying that all week long. I think that I don't have a problem with Jalen not running that much. I really don't. I don't have a problem with the tush push not being a big part of the offense. I need those weapons. Like, feed the beast, man. Feed the beast. Feed Saquon. Feed skinny Batman. Feed big Batman. Feed all those targets that you have. Hell, feed Dallas Goedert. Like, get them the football, man, and let them cook. You're still going to get yours. You're going to still get your accolades. Mm-hmm. Let those other guys do their job.
I mean, we really heard some wild stuff this segment here. I mean, we went from making history in Brazil as the first quarterback to win a game in Brazil to there's only one Jesus.
Only one Jesus.
To Sirianni is the little brother with the controller in his hand.
I need to work Jesus back into the conversation as much as I possibly can.
I think we got a knot on WIP. Maybe.
We got a what?
I think we maybe stay away from the Jesus stuff.
You think so?
As much as we can on WIP, yeah.
Well,
listen, there is, I mean, it did make me laugh. I can't lie.
You might be right.
I just didn't even know what to say after
but
that.
The little brother and the controller, though, that was a good one.
Well, because everyone's done that at some point, right? If you have a sibling and they're younger than you.
You can play.
You're playing too, yeah. And then they hold the control in their hand and they think they're driving the car or whatever the game is and they're not actually playing.
I wasn't a big let my little brother win though guy.
What's the gap between you guys?
6 years.
Yeah, that's a close enough gap that it's okay. Yeah, you don't want to let him
win. I had to dominate him.
Well, but like when you're a teenager and he's like 7, you still wanted to win?
No.
Yeah. Bill's character. Bill's character.
At some point, you got to let him win, right?
No, dude. He's got to learn to earn it on his own.
All right. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show. On the other side, Philly's back jump. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. And Kiss the Baby. We'll unveil that in the 1 o'clock hour. Which team are we officially eliminating from Super Bowl contention today? It's over. The season is dead for the teams we announced today. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.